Glory, hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And then we're going to continue our study on spiritual growth and what it looks like. Spiritual growth and what it looks like. Praise God. We're coming to the end of this particular series. Let's say a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the entrance of the same that brings light and clarity. Thank you for the instructions we are going to receive from your word today. Thank you because we would obey these instructions to the letter and our lives will not remain the same again. Thank you for wisdom supplied us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, spiritual growth and what it looks like. And I've been sharing on the place of Bible study. I've been sharing on the place of your own personal commitment, personal involvement with these things. I've shown the role of Bible reading and the role of Bible study in spiritual growth. I started by teaching on the place of having a sound teacher of the Word of God. So those are things I've mentioned as key and important things you must give yourself to if you are to grow in the faith. Now, all of those things that I've shared have to do with God's word. Amen. So no doubt, God's word is a vital thing that will bring spiritual growth. God's word. Hallelujah. I've seen believers who desire to grow spiritually but are not paying attention to God's word. People who desire to grow spiritually but they do not have time for Bible study. That's an irony. Amen. It's just like desiring to be drunk and not be drinking. You want to be intoxicated, but you're not drinking. The only way to be intoxicated is to drink. Amen. So the man that wants to grow in the knowledge of Christ must give himself to the pursuit of that knowledge. You can't grow outside your commitment and your passion and your involvement with the Word of God. You can't grow outside the dedication and the attention you give to God's Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. Praise God. So you cannot grow beyond your commitment and involvement with the word of God. Commitment to and involvement with the word of God. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about an aspect of Christianity that also contributes to your growth. And I'm not talking about prayer now. Amen. We're going to talk about prayer in the last episode as a vital thing, prayer and then commitment to the local church. But then what I want to talk about today is another vital thing you must endeavor to do if you must grow spiritually. Amen. And what exactly is this? Ministry. Hallelujah. Ministry. Service. Praise God. A lot of times people do not realize that ministry is a major way to grow as a believer. Hallelujah. I don't care how much you have come to know. I don't care how much you have come to study from the Word of God. I don't care how much insight you've come to receive from the Word of God. If you are not committed to doing the work of ministry, you will not grow as you ought to. There's a particular growth that comes only when a man gives himself to service. Hallelujah. Now listen, the church of Jesus is such that the commission and the mandate to make disciples is given to the whole church. Amen. Is given to the whole church. Everybody, we are to make disciples. So, as it is, if I ask you today, who are your disciples? You should be able to point at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You should be able to point at people you are reaching with the word of God, people you are bringing to maturity, people you are explaining scriptures to, people you are, you know, trying to get grounded and established in the faith. It is the duty and the role and the goal of every Christian, of every believer in Christ. Ministry is a major thing that contributes to your growth. Praise God. Listen carefully. This is very important. And one of the ways the devil is fighting the church and fighting the effectiveness of many believers is discouraging an emphasis on ministry. Hallelujah. That's why we have a lot of church models that do not focus on training believers to be effective ministers of the Word of God. We have faulty and flawed church models where people just come to spectate. People just come into church to watch and to applaud the man and to say, this man is too great. This man is the wisdom of God on two legs. Is this and that. God, my pastor is so wonderful. He's full of insights. Man. And they are just standing in awe of the man rather than getting their hands soiled and getting busy walking alongside with the man. The believer should see himself in a local church as a fellow worker with the pastor. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. So God has committed good works to the church. God has committed to us the ministry. Hallelujah. You have a work to do just as much as the pastor also has a work to do. The pastor is meant to train you to do effectively that which Jesus has committed to your trust. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I like to always say, the good works you are meant to do are not just, it's not just any kind of work you can think about. Say your own good works is your career. Your own good works is playing football. Your own good works is to be a musician. No. Jesus says, he that believes in me, John 14, the very works that I do, shall he do also. The same works. Praise God. The very same thing. Jesus was preaching, his disciples were preaching. Jesus was casting out devils, his disciples were sent to do the same. Jesus was healing the sick, he sent out his disciples to do the same. Everything that Jesus did, he has enabled us by his spirit to also do. And he has given us commission and mandate to go fulfill the same. So the church is a place for training men for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you today that ministry is a vital aspect of Christianity that contributes to your growth. Listen. In my own life personally, if there's anything that has made me very consistent, if there's anything that has made me, be on my feet regularly, if there's any reason why I can't afford to be cold for too long, it is because I've always been responsible for other people. I did not say I've always been a pastor. That's where a lot of people miss it. Before I was a pastor, I was responsible for people. I had men that I was reaching out to. Not just in the world, even amongst the saints. Glory to God. I was preaching the gospel to the lost. I was concerned about the souls of men. I was also particular about the edification of the saints. I gave myself to service. And it was one of the reasons why, it is one of the reasons why I've remained committed and effective as a Christian. You can't learn this anywhere. It's learned only by practicing ministry. Praise God. You must be responsible for somebody. You must give yourself to the work of ministry. That is how to be on fire for Jesus till the end of time. Glory to God. I'm going to go into scriptures very soon and show us some practical things, through scriptures. But then listen, many of the people that were on fire for Jesus on campus, go and watch them. The reason why they were on fire for Jesus on campus was because they were committed to ministry. Now, the moment they leave campus and they get into the traditional modern setting of church as we have it today, they backslide easily and they lose the fire. Why? Because there's no opportunity for ministry in those places. In fact, scratch that. Not opportunities for ministry. There is no emphasis and training for ministry. Praise God. Everything is one-man show where you just come to watch the man, you take notes. What are you taking notes for? What are you writing for? If not to do the work of ministry. Hallelujah. And you are so concerned and obsessed with your life, making your life work. That is why you come to church regularly, to learn how to make your life work, your business. It's you, the very same thing you are meant to die to so as to serve Jesus is what is being fueled in churches, self-centeredness. Hallelujah. Nobody makes progress in the Christian faith by being self-centered, being so occupied with self and how much progress you can make in your life in this world. Glory to God. Ministry is a vital way to grow as a Christian. 2 Corinthians, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. Glory to God. You need to pay attention to this well, and it will change your life forever if you follow this instruction and you live in the light of what I'm sharing this morning. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll read from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Hallelujah. Bible says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judged us, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Christ." Hallelujah. You know, this is a call to service, a call to ministry. Hallelujah. That is how Jesus has designed the new life. Your pursuit will just change. It is not just about you any longer. It's about others. Praise God. When the Bible says to live for him who died and rose again, it means to live for his purpose. To live for the very things that he lived for. To live for the very things that he's passionate about. His own interest. Praise God. That is the very thing that Paul is discussing at 2 Corinthians 5. That's what he says till he gets to verse 18, 19. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, "Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Have you seen that? "As we have received salvation and a new status and identity, we have also received the ministry of reconciliation." Praise God. Verse 19. "That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Glory to God. The word of reconciliation. So we have received the ministry the same way we have received salvation in Christ. We are no longer to live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us. So the church is a place for training us to be other-centered. Hallelujah. To be Christ-centered, which translates into being other-centered. You know, there are Christians who don't feel anything when they even hear that, you know, souls are perishing. It doesn't ring any bell anymore. Hallelujah. Souls are perishing. Where is it today? Souls have been perishing. Is it today? Is it a new thing? It doesn't in any way affect them anymore. They become so cold and disconnected from service. Some so cold and disconnected from the ministry of Christ. They become so cold and nonchalant and you know, carefree. Hallelujah. Reckless in their disposition to ministry. Praise God. Look at Philippians in chapter 2. Hallelujah. Philippians in chapter 2, Bible says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Verse 3, point of emphasis. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Verse 4, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Service, ministry. You are no longer looking just for your own interest. You are looking out for the interest of others. You are mindful of others. Hallelujah. A believer that does not assume this responsibility, that does not step into this responsibility and give himself to it, will not grow as he ought to grow. It's impossible, and it's not a curse. It's not a curse. You will not grow as you ought to grow until you begin to take ministry seriously. You must have disciples. Hallelujah. Men you are responsible for. Men whose spiritual growth depend on your own effectiveness. Hallelujah. Men who, they'll be the reason why you stay awake at night to pray. They'll be the reason why you are studying. You are studying and you want to really be ahead so you can always feed them with the word of God. Men who make you, you know, be on your toes regularly. Responsibility. Glory to God. Responsibility. Hallelujah. And Mark's gospel, look at this. I want to walk you through scriptures to show you how ministry changed the apostles. Praise God. Ministry. Ministry was what changed the apostles. You see, Peter, John, and all those men, what changed them, really? was ministry. Praise God. Ministry. 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 Hallelujah. Apart from the fact that they saw Jesus rise again from the dead and they were not so convinced about the faith, the truth of the matter is, when Jesus was with them, before Jesus went to the cross, these men were lazy. Hallelujah. They were lazy in prayers. And that's the aspect I want to show you. When it comes to prayer, they were lazy. Mark's Gospel chapter 14. Hallelujah. Mark's Gospel 14 from verse 32. Bible says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. You know, such an emergency. Glory to God. Jesus took them aside and he made them realize there was an urgency. There was an urgency required of them to be watchful. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Praise God. Verse 35, he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Hallelujah. The disciples saw their master, their Lord. I'm sure they've never seen Jesus that way before. I'm sure that was the first time they were ever going to see Jesus being troubled and so distressed and sorrowful, going, you know, falling on the ground and praying with so much agony and sorrow. Hallelujah. Guess what? They were sleeping. They were sleeping. Hallelujah. Verse 37, then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. They were sleeping. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. They were sleeping. Glory to God. They were lazy. They were not committed. Amen. When it comes to prayer, the disciples were lazy. Once upon a time, they brought a child to Jesus to the disciples to pray for. And after they had prayed, and there was no results, Jesus came and said, what do you want? He said, we brought our child to your disciples. They could not do anything about it. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long will I be with you? Then in secret, disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast it out? He says, this cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. Glory to God. Except by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Someone says, well, what Jesus was saying is that this kind of unbelief cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, I'm not sure that's what Jesus was saying. Praise God. Unbelief being cast out by prayer and fasting. Not really. Praise God. Jesus was showing them the kind of devotion that was getting the job done. I mean, that was what they saw in his own life. Jesus went aside to pray and fast regularly. Jesus committed himself to a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. We saw a record of a 40-day retreat. Jesus went at a stretch, 40 days, fasting and praying. Disciples were lazy. Guess what? Acts of Apostles. Jesus took Peter. After the resurrection, Jesus appointed him over the church. Realized that the last experience of Peter was that he denied Jesus. Jesus found him and began to teach them. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, for the space of 40 days, began to teach them. Now listen, 40 days of training, 40 days of teaching them, even if they were praying together, there's no record or account that they were actually even having prayer meetings. There's no record like that. But of course, trust Jesus, they must have prayed. Beyond the teachings, they must have prayed. But 40 days of training them in how to pray is not enough. Hallelujah. I mean, they have 3.5 years. 40 days of training them to know how to pray is not enough. If you have ever attended a retreat before, or you've attended a meeting, you know, once upon a time in church, we had marathon prayer. If you have ever attended such meetings, you realize that after that prayer session and that prayer meeting, even if it's 100 days, if you don't continue in it, forget it. Hallelujah. Forget it. It's only a matter of days and a matter of weeks or months. It's going to be all history. What changed them was because Jesus handed his church over to Peter and Peter assumed responsibility over the church. Ministry was what changed the apostles. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. Stay in Jerusalem and tarry there until you are endued with power from on high. He gave them instruction to go and tarry. They knew that to tarry and to wait was not just to be in the early, in the upper room and be waiting and be idle. They knew what tarrying and waiting meant. So from Acts of Apostles chapter 1, look at this now. Acts of Apostles chapter 1, from verse 14. Bible says, this all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. They continued in prayer and supplication till the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. I'm not saying there was no break, but they continued to pray. It was a tradition. They began a culture of praying. They continued steadfastly. They were not born again. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost had not been given. Amen. They were not praying in tongues. So you should ask yourself, what kind of prayer were they praying in their understanding? And they prayed like that. They continued steadfastly like that until the day of Pentecost. Amen. Until the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And then we go to Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Ministry. Ministry. See, at this point in time, Peter was not just following Jesus and then learning God's word. And then anytime Jesus says to go out, they go out once in a while, they reach out to people, they come back to him. And Jesus was teaching. Do you know, if you read the Gospels very well, the apostles were not the ones really teaching. They went out to announce and preach many times. Yeah, the kingdom of God is here. But the teaching ministry was Jesus's own specialty. It was Jesus that was teaching, because the disciples couldn't have been teaching scriptures. They did not understand it. Until Jesus rose again from the dead, their understanding was not opened. Luke 24, 27, 45, 46, 47, their understanding was opened after the resurrection. That was when they could comprehend the scriptures. So they couldn't have been teaching men doctrine like we teach today. Hallelujah. So it was after the resurrection, after Jesus handed the church to them, they began their own teaching ministry. And guess what? That was what transformed their lives. In that they were responsible for other people. Praise God. They couldn't sleep and slumber like every other person anymore. They had to be on their toes. People were looking up to them. People's lives depended on them. They had responsibility. Listen, there's something that keeps people awake. There's something that keeps people going. It's called responsibility. That's the same reason why when we were growing up, you see, your parents, they would do everything to make sure you are fine. Hallelujah. Whether they feel like working or not, the fact that they must pay your school fees is the reason why they would do everything to make sure they keep making money. Your mom will come back from work tired and still get into the kitchen and cook for you. It's called responsibility. Hallelujah. You see a woman nursing a baby in tiredness, in weakness, in sickness, the woman is still responsible. There's something that gets people going. It's called responsibility. The moment you assume responsibility over the lives of others, you'll be committed and faithful. Hallelujah. There are very few people who ministry doesn't change. There are very few. There are exceptions. The norm is that if you are committed to being a blessing to people and you are committed to investing your life in people and teaching them God's word and bringing them to maturity, you also be growing in the knowledge of Christ. You will also be growing in the faith. Responsibility matures us. Hallelujah. It matures us. Look at the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy. Hallelujah. We'll see that. We'll see Ephesians 4. And then we'll see Hebrews chapter 5. Look at the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy. Commitment, ministry affects our lives. It changes us. It contributes largely to our growth as believers. That's why I feel sad when I hear that a man attends a church or I see a church model somewhere that is not emphatic about the work of ministry. I'm like, what? Do you know what you are doing? You are shortchanging the saints. They will never grow beyond a particular point. Hallelujah. You just discover that you are not growing. And you won't be able to explain it. The problem or what is missing in your life, even if you understand scriptures, what is missing in your life at that point in time is that you are not doing ministry. Ministry. Ministry contributes to our growth. Ministry aids our development. Hallelujah. Just start from today. Pick a set of people that you want to explain scriptures to regularly. You want to share God's word with them and see how drastic you make progress in the faith. You will see how drastic you make progress in the faith. Many teachers are better teachers because they were teaching. Even in the natural. The way to be a good teacher is to teach others. Glory to God. There are certain things I teach well today because I was teaching men. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So you must have disciples. You must take ministry seriously because it will aid your growth as a Christian. That's how God designed it. Those who pour their lives into others, those who minister to others, are themselves going to, you know, be beneficiaries of that commitment. You are going to, it's going to aid your growth and commitment. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4. So get this right. I'm not saying that's the only thing that contributes to your growth. We have said many things. So this is one of the things too. So as I'm receiving teaching, I'm also teaching others. As I'm being taught, I'm also teaching others. As I'm being trained, I'm also training others. As I'm being discipled, I'm also discipling others. Glory to God. And that is the way you are going to grow in a healthy way as a Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and from verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may appear to all men, may be evident to all. Verse 16, point of emphasis. Take it to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. Hallelujah. The man that pays attention to doctrine, the man that pays attention to feeding men, that takes it to himself and to teaching, will save both himself and those that hear him. Hallelujah. Newsflash. When you teach others God's word and they're edified, you're also edified. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's no time I preach and I don't feel like praying after I'm done. You know, when I'm done preaching, people say, Pastor, when I listen to you, I could not stop praying. I'm like, the feeling is the same. I also could not stop praying after I stop preaching. Hallelujah. Because everything I'm saying to you, I'm also hearing it. My ears are not short. As I'm blessing you with that insight, I'm also hearing it. I'm re-registering that fact in my own mind. So as I'm edifying you and stirring up your mind, I'm also stirring up my mind and edifying myself. It should have happened to you before if you're in ministry. If you're doing ministry actively, it should have happened to you that after you've been a blessing to somebody, you're also stirred up. It's a two-way thing. Hallelujah. It's a two-way thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you must take ministry so seriously. You must take ministry so seriously because it will contribute to your growth as a Christian. Take it to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you save both yourself and them that hear ye. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 4. Glory, 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 glory to God. Ephesians 4, from verse 11, Bible says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, look at this now. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church will grow when every part of the church, every member, every believer is making a supply. Hallelujah. The ministry gifts are not the only ones sent to do ministry. They are sent to equip men for the work of ministry. Praise God. They are sent to raise men for ministry. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:11-12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So the body of Christ is a place where everybody is collectively making a supply. It says for the edifying of itself in love, for the growth of the body. Hallelujah. Ministry will change your life. Praise God. Oh boy. Ministry will change your life. Ministry will affect your life in a way that nothing else will. Ministry will contribute to your growth. You must assume responsibility over men. You must take ministry so importantly. You must take ministry so seriously. You must begin to pour out your life into others. You must stop being selfish and being self-centered. Stay away from gatherings that fuel self-centeredness. It's not doing you any good. Stay away from gatherings that do not encourage an active participation in ministry. Stay away from gatherings that reduce your ministry to ushering and drama and all these funny things we do in church. Have you ever wondered that in the early church there were no such protocols? Those are modern day creations because of the way we do church. They did not even have choir members in the early church. The old church was singing. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking to one another, singing and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, do all, whether in word or indeed, do all to the glory of God. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving glory to his name. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5. The same. They were all singing. They didn't have a special place called, a special group called choir. They were all involved in singing to one another. Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all these modern day departments and offices we've created, you are in charge of projector. They were not using projector in those days. So that is not ministry. Hallelujah. Those are at the very best administrative things in the body of Christ today. Administrative things in a corporate setting that we call church today. The ministry we have received of the Lord consists of ministering the word, teaching God's word. Every believer is meant to be able to teach the word of God. You preach to the lost and you teach fellow saints. You're able to minister the things of the Spirit. That is ministry. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. That is ministry. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The earlier you agree with this truth, the better it is for your life. There are many churches that just glory in numbers. In this church, we have 40,000 members. We have a 40,000 membership, strength, and it's still growing. The fastest church in Lagos, the fastest church in Abuja, the fastest church in the world, the greatest church, the most visible church, the most upwardly mobile church. Hallelujah. Look at the congregation. They are all like dead men, just spectating and not participating in active ministry. Praise God. Ushers, you're welcome to church, you're welcome to church, you're welcome to church with miniskirts. Praise God. That's ministry. You're welcome to church, we celebrate you. You think you're doing ministry. That's not ministry. That's not ministry. Ministry is that you're able to explain scriptures to people. You're able to teach men the word of God. You're able to lead a sinner to Christ and win their souls for Jesus via the preaching of the word of God. You're able to establish them in the faith and begin to grow them in the faith. Via the teaching of God's word, you can provide explanations for every question in their hearts concerning the word of God. That is ministry. Praise God. That is the core of ministry we all have received. Every other thing is secondary. Hallelujah. Every other thing is secondary. Our ministry to God, we minister to him in psalms, we minister to him in songs, we minister to him in praises, giving him the fruit of our lips. When it comes to our ministry to men, the core of that ministry is being able to teach others and preach the gospel and be able to raise men for Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. This is church, where all men are making a supply of the things of the Spirit. Because at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, the man Paul says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to the whole church. For many Christians today, it's so dormant. It's just in them. There's no expression given to the things of the Spirit because the church you attend regularly, you are not even allowed to minister to anybody. Praise God. And then you are so comfortable, you are so, you don't even know something is wrong with you already. Praise God. You think it's the norm to just attend church and just brisk out and brisk in and just brisk out. Service was great today. Oh, glory. Oh, service was just so tight. Pastor preached fire. You think it's a normal thing that you are not an active participant in your father's house. You are just there to spectate. You think it's a normal thing. You've gotten used to nonsense. Praise God. That's the model that is prevalent today, and it is awkward. It is not biblical. It is antichrist. The model that God endorses is a model where everybody is an active participant in the ministry. Because ministry is one of the ways you are going to grow as a Christian. You will not grow as effectively as you ought to grow as a Christian if you are not immersed in the work of ministry. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews in chapter 5, as I begin to close. Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 5. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. Every believer is meant to be able to teach. Every believer should be responsible for teaching others the word of God, to bring men to maturity, to reach out to the lost collectively as a church. We go out there, we preach to sinners, we bring them to Christ, we win their souls, we convert men. Hallelujah. And then we are also responsible for them after they come into the fold. Praise God. After we are done preaching on the pulpit, there should be conversations among the saints. People should be reaching out to themselves, teaching and exhorting one another. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. When you ought to be teachers. The writer of Hebrews is writing to an entire congregation. Praise God. He's not writing to church leaders. He's writing to a group of people. And he says, the time has come for you guys to be teachers. Every one of you. Not the ministry of a pastor. No, you don't have to be a leader to be a teacher. All you need is to be well taught the word of God so you are able to teach others. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. I read from verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. It's not referring to pastors here. Commit to faithful men. Commit to any man at all in the church. Commit God's word. The same things you have received from me. Commit to men who are faithful to the end that they are able to teach others also. Ministry will change your life. Hallelujah. If you have not been consistent as you ought to be, become more responsible for lives. Become more responsible over the lives of other people. Start checking and looking out for the interest of others in the body. Praise God. Start seeking and looking out for the interest of others. Stop being self-centered. Praise God. This approach that has made you so self-preoccupied, self-centered. It's all about you. You don't care about souls. You're not caring about any other person. You're not after the spiritual well-being of other people. It's not the right thing for you. It's not the will of God for you. Start taking ministry more seriously. Your life will not remain the same. I'll say this again. I said it before that if you check the lives of all those who were zealous on campus, passionate on campus, and then off campus, they lost their zeal. Go and check them very well. They were actively involved in ministry on campus, and off campus, they got into a setting where they were not actively involved in ministry again. Hallelujah. And it's the same way, all those who were active on campus and were on fire for Jesus on campus and were passionate on campus and have remained that way and sustained that fire off campus, go and check something about them. There's one thing common to all of them, ministry. They were given to ministry on campus and they are still given to ministry off campus. That has always been the only way to sustain the fire. Hallelujah. That is the only way to sustain the fire. The work of ministry. Serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Serving others. Being responsible. Responsibility will change your life. Glory to God. I know what I'm saying. Responsibility will change your life. Glory to God. I pray for every heart this morning. I pray for every mind, every heart this morning, that you catch the vision of Jesus, that you will see as you ought to see. in the name of Jesus, that you catch the vision of Jesus, that you begin to run your life according to the plan and the purpose of God for you, that you stop chasing shadows, that you stop being self-centered and preoccupied about yourself and your ambitions and just your life, that you start seeking the things that matter, that you start living for Christ and living for Jesus, that you start looking out for the interest of others in the name of Jesus, that your passion will not fail in the name of Jesus, that you not lose your focus, that you not lose your vision of Jesus, that you be found consistent in this matter. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you not fall away from your steadfastness, that you not fall away from your steadfastness in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, nothing else would matter when you stand before Jesus. Nothing else would matter. Nothing else. Not your degree, not your education, not your work, nothing else. Not all the accolades and all the awards you are decorated with in this life. Nothing else will matter when you stand before Jesus on that last day. Hallelujah. Nothing else apart from that which you have done for him, apart from that which you have done in his name. That is the only thing that will stand. Praise God. That is the only thing that will stand. Yes, your work is good. Your marriage is good. Your business is good. Your ambitions are great. Yes, but they all end here. Hallelujah. Everything is going to end here. The only thing that will last is what you have done for Christ. What you have done in his name. Glory to God. So you must guard it jealously. You must not lose your vision of Christ. You must not lose your passion. Hallelujah. You must throw yourself into the work of ministry and realize this, that while you are at it, serving and ministering, it will also contribute to your growth in this world. Hallelujah. It will contribute to your growth and maturity in the things of the Spirit, in the faith of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Oh, hallelujah. What a time. Okay, we're going to continue from here tomorrow, round off the series, and that'll be it for spiritual growth and what it looks like. Glory to God. Invite your friends, colleagues, family members, everyone at all. Put on your WhatsApp status, share on your social media handles, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of faith, power, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.